thought she knew, but she had no idea. Darby's voice did.
Yeah, you listen to the Urban Sports Scene. I am Wally. We are back live. I'm by myself solo, but we're waiting on my homeboy Ice Willie T, our usual Urban Sports Scene regular. He's back on the show. He missed the last couple of weeks, but he'll be back. Also, we are missing my homeboy Ray Jeezy. He's always missed. You know, we love Ray. Ray is the Urban Sports Scene family. It's been a blessing to have my man Ray Jeezy back. But again, you listen to the Urban Sports Scene. This is episode 236. This has been a blessing to have this, you know, continue to do this show, bringing sports to you all. We got a lot to talk about, the Washington Redskins beating the Chicago Bears over the weekend in a game, in a game that could be deemed as luck. You know, was that game lucky to you? The Washington Wizards in basketball, the Washington Wizards, struggling, playing some inconsistent basketball on against Dallas one day. Against Dallas, you had Otto Porter playing well, scoring a career high 28. Then he comes back against, the Memphis Grizzlies, and it goes 1-for-8. And knowing that Bradley Beal is out and they need help. Then we have in the world of baseball a lot going on with the Orioles, the Nationals. So we're going to get right into it. We're going to get into our tradition, the pregame. Also, our phone line is open. The number is 240-478-3140. That's 240-478-3140. All right, the pregame. Pete Rose is still banned from baseball. It's amazing. The commissioner came out and said Pete Rose, and he didn't want Pete Rose, and basically he's not allowed to be in baseball, but it's different from the Hall of Fame, but he can't be in baseball. Which annoys me about this situation is I feel like no one has the guts to put Pete Rose in baseball. I believe that people want this guy in baseball. Like, they want him to be part of baseball. He's already on the MLB networks or Fox network doing games for baseball. But you can tell they want him in baseball. We're talking about the hit king. How can you have a guy who was that important, that influential in the game of baseball and not have him a part of baseball? Now, granted, you have to understand, I am a Barry Bonds fan. I am a Mark McGwire fan. But if these two individuals are, Mark McGwire's a hitting coach, and Barry Bonds has now been announced a hitting coach for the Florida Marlins. If these individuals can be hitting coaches in baseball, how come Pete Rose can have a little inkling of anything in baseball, being maybe a hitting instructor or whatever, maybe a consultant or whatever? How come Pete Rose can't be used in that situation, knowing that Barry Bonds and Mark McGwire, players like that have been deemed steroid users. Now we know these individuals probably won't make the Hall of Fame because so many people are against them. But Pete Rose not being able to be in the Hall of Fame, I feel like he will get his opportunity in the Hall of Fame when he passes away. And that's a sad thing. In society, we give so much. I mean, we appreciate people when they're long and gone. And when I say long and gone, I mean dead. We show appreciation when an individual is dead. Now, in my opinion, when Pete Rose is dead, then they're going to put him in the Hall of Fame. Then he's going to get all these accolades and all this, that, and the other. Let's appreciate the craft that he had. I mean, he was a great baseball player, a great offensive player. He's a guy that even DC's own Bryce Harper, many people have compared Bryce Harper to a Pete Rose, a guy who at the time of his rookie year, I'm going to say now, but his rookie year, a guy that hustled and ran the bases hard and didn't take plays off. Everybody compared him to Pete Rose. That's the kind of guy that you need in your game, at least as an ambassador of baseball, because he was a great player. Now, obviously, as an individual, I'm not here to condemn somebody in terms of how they are personally. I can only talk about Pete Rose as the baseball player and what I've read. Now, he wasn't around when I was watching baseball because I was pretty much a kid and I didn't get a chance to see Pete Rose at his heyday or anything. But at the same time, when you read what he's done, what he did in baseball or what he's accomplished, and what you've heard, I mean, by God, this guy should be definitely have his footprint in some organization, helping out some young baseball player Just imagine what he could do to a young guy who's struggling, what he knows, his knowledge, what he can do for a team in the minors. Say he was a minor league manager, what these young guys can learn from in the minor leagues. On our Facebook page, I posed a question about, I pretty much stated that, baseball didn't have the heart. They don't have the heart to put Pete Rose back in baseball. And we have a couple of comments. I'm trying to find some right now. Matter of fact, let's see here. I think it's coming up shortly. Dead radio, obviously. Quiet. I can't have dead radio, so I gotta keep talking. All right, here we go. Pete Rose, my man, Parlard. I'm messing his name up. If I mess up your name and you hear this, please call me and say, Wally, you effed up the name. But Prahlad, I'm sorry, man. Said meanwhile, allowed Mark McGwire and Barry Bonds to be coaches. Shake my head. I agree with you, man. Having Barry Bonds and Mark McGwire as coaches, which I did state earlier, isn't fair. These are guys that people deemed as cheaters and impacted the game on the field because of steroids. Now I've been on the side of saying that I don't believe steroids make you a better player, to be honest with you. If that was the case, you see a lot of great players in baseball. Some players just suck. But it does help you get stronger. But again, I've always stated that Mark McGwire and Barry Bonds were great players without steroids. It wouldn't even matter. Jeff Spencer, my boy Jeff, said he agrees. He did nothing compared to Mark McGwire, Barry Bonds. Give me a break. I guess it's the overall consensus. It's about the comparing to Mark McGwire and Barry Bonds. It's just not fair. Pete Rose, his situation and him not being in baseball and those individuals allowed in baseball just isn't fair. And if also if you want to break down even Andy Pettit just came out and said he took steroids and he's still involved with the Yankees. He got to come back in baseball. So what's the difference between that and Pete Rose? It's amazing. Jeff had another comment. He said, I mean, to finish by saying it's a bit like keeping people in jail for small amounts of marijuana from past years. The punishment no longer seems to fit the crime. Totally agree, Jeff, man. Again, Pete Rose should be back in baseball. It makes no sense. Hopefully, what I stated earlier, it doesn't come to fruition. I hope that Pete Rose gets a chance to be appreciated, acknowledged for what he can do for the game of baseball, and get him into an organization or help MLB in some facet before he dies. And then when he dies, then you'll see all the montages and have baseball talk about him in such a positive way. He's living now. Give him an opportunity to put his impact in today's game of baseball. The Washington Nationals and down the pregame, excuse me, the Washington Nationals miss out on the signing of Jason Hayward. Jason Hayward signed with the Chicago Cubs. I believe it was 8 years. 8 years, $184 million. I think I'm correct. I know he got $184 million. I think to me, Jason Hayward was a little overpaid. I'm a Jason Hayward fan. I was surprised to hear that the Nats were thinking about paying Jason Hayward $200 million. I mean, we're talking about Jason Hayward. Again, I'm all for brother getting his money. Especially in baseball when there's not a lot of brothers. And I enjoy watching Jason Hayward. He's a great he's a promising young hitter, a promising young prospect when he was coming out when he was in the Braves organization. Even coming out his first game as a rookie, I believe he had a home run in his first game. But Jason Hayward hasn't really panned out to be the guy that people thought he would be. $200 million is a lot of money for a guy to me that doesn't consistently hit at a high average or hit 30 home runs and steals 30 to 40 bases and brings in 100 RBIs. Now he's a well-rounded player. He's a guy. He's a cannon for an arm in the outfield. He's up there in the league in assists. So when I look at Jason Hayward, I look at a guy who is really good and super talented, but hasn't really gotten to the level that he's supposed to be. Now, if he came to the Nationals, I believe that lineup would do well for him. It gets protection for Bryce Harper. I can imagine having those two hit 1-2. You had Ryan Zimmerman coming back from that injury and getting used to playing first base. Hopefully, his offense comes back around. And then you have Ramos. So to me, the lineup, it fit better if they could have signed a Jason Hayward. And I think Jason Hayward would have been an improved hitter, knowing that Bryce Harper hit in front of him and he would get more fastballs. So I think the Nationals really missed out on that one. But in a small way, I feel like the Nationals are at a good spot, because I wouldn't have gave him $200 million. Now, granted, he couldn't make the team. He couldn't make the team better. But for $200 million, it's the same argument, which we're going to be talking about Chris Davis for the Baltimore Orioles. It's the same argument what I've raised about Chris Davis. Is Chris Davis worth $200 million? It's the same thing with Hayward. Is he really worth $200? I don't think he's worth $200 million. Excuse me. $200 million. So we'll see what the Nationals are up. What the Nationals may want to do. Obviously, looking for Jason. They were looking at Jason Hayward. Maybe they will try to sign a Justin Upton. To me, a cheaper player, and to me, better than a Hayward at this point in time. A guy who can hit for 30 home runs and shown that he can carry an offense for a period of time. So again, I am interested to see where he lands anyway. But I would love for him to land with the Baltimore Orioles. But to the Baltimore Orioles. In the offseason, so far in their offseason, they re-signed Darren O'Day, made a trade to get Mark Trumbo, and they put an offer out for Chris Davis. They offered him six or seven years for $150 million. Very surprised that Chris Davis didn't take that offer. Again, this is a guy that hits, okay, can hit for two, can hit for 199 to 200, strike out like almost every at bat, and yes, he can hit about 40 home runs in a season. But if you strike out that many times and you can hit for that low of an average, you're not worth $200 million. Now, that was his rebuttal to the Orioles' offer. It was 8 year. He wanted a 7 or 8 year deal. I'm sorry. I don't have the numbers in front of me. A 7 to 8 year deal, but he wanted worth $200 million, basically $50 million more than what the Orioles were willing to offer. Again, I feel like 150 is well beyond what you deserve, because you're getting paid more than Adam Jones, who's a better baseball player on that team. Now, granted, everything is worked out because of the market he's in, and that's how, you know, he can dictate his money. He's a hot free agent with the first baseman around him. But he's not. If you're not the best player on your team, how can you ask for that amount of money? How can the Orioles be justified to give you that money, knowing that Adam Jones may, you know, eventually that contract may, they'll run out. Then you'll have, well, not even Adam Jones. That's not even looking at Adam Jones. You have Manny Machado, who is deemed the Orioles' best player offensively. Offensively and defensively, so overall the best player for the Baltimore Orioles. And once he's a free agent, if you're giving Chris Davis $200 million, Manny Machado must be getting $350 million. That's what you look at if you're the Orioles GM, I'm having a brain fart right now in terms of his name. It's not McPhay. McPhail is now in Chicago with the Phillies. What is his name? Well, it'll come to me later. But if you're the Orioles GM and you're looking at that, you have to think ahead and say Manny Machado is going to get that kind of money. I can't ruin the market. Now, if I don't pay Chris Davis, I can try to offer Manny $200 million, and he may take that. There's a chance that he'll take that. But if he sees that Chris Davis on the roster is getting $200 million, he's going to think to himself, I'm better than Chris Davis. If he's getting $200 million, I should be getting $300 million. That's how it works. So again, I don't knock the Orioles for not getting Chris Davis. Again, if I'm the Orioles, I got Trumbo from Seattle in that trade. I'm playing Trumbo at first, and I'm trying to make a play for BJ Upton. Again, this team can't lose 40 home run guys like they lost Nelson Cruz. But if they can flip it, get Justin Upton. That's another guy with some power who averages about 30 home runs, who plays a decent outfield. Then you got Trumbo, who's a guy who can hit 30 home runs as well. Now you've kind of worked it out. You have power hitters all the way around. Adam Jones is happy because he was getting Adam Jones and manager Buck Martinez were getting sick of losing talented players. They want to win like everybody else. So you do that. You fix that situation. Then you don't have to sign Chris Davis. And again, I don't think anybody's going to offer Chris Davis $200 million, to be honest with you. It would only be a desperate team, a team that's looking for power, looking to do some damage. And like a Tampa Bay Devil, like the Tampa Bay Rays. And I don't think they would even think about getting that offer. Think about making that offer to a Chris Davis, knowing that that organization is pretty strapped. It's pretty much strapped for cash. So Chris Davis, if you're trying to find that money elsewhere, good luck to you, man. I don't see it happening anytime soon. Down the pregame, Derrick Henry winning the Heisman Trophy. Man, am I the only – I'm sorry, Derrick Henry from Alabama winning the Heisman Trophy. Am I the only one that thinks that this dude shouldn't have got it? I think Christian McCaffrey deserved it. I mean, you see his stats. Good God. I mean, they're all-purpose yards. His last game, he almost had like 600 yards. The dude deserves the Heisman. Derrick Henry wasn't that special to me. Is it just me? I just didn't think he was anything extra special. So, for Derrick Henry to get the Heisman? Like, really? I mean, he's had good games. He had good games, but Alabama, like, just fed him the ball. I don't look at him as a special player at all. I'm very surprised that Derrick Henry got the Heisman. I would have gave it to Christian McCaffrey. Even though, you know, folks who know me from Stanford, I'm still trying to see Barry Sanderson play. He barely gets to play, but Christian McCaffrey had a great season. He's a guy that I would have liked to see get the Heisman. I don't make any secret about it. So, it's just interesting. Derrick Henry had a great year, played for Alabama. I feel like because he played for Alabama, that's why he got the award. I don't agree with it. If anybody feels different, just call me up. Again, the number is 240-478-3140. That's 240-478-3140. But yeah, so I don't know how, I don't know why he got it. SEC maybe, but I just think that usually you have that Heisman game against USC. That was a Heisman winning game to me, and he should have got it in that game because the work he did in that game was something special. Anyway, it's about time for a commercial break. When we get back from break, we'll be talking about the Washington Redskins beating the Chicago Bears. And the question to you, the question of this segment, the main question of the segment is, man, were the Redskins lucky? I mean, like, really? Were they lucky? I mean, you had Kirk Cousins throwing the ball across the middle that should have got picked off. And you had Matt Jones, who's shown that he's not a reliable running back because he can fumble the ball anytime, even by accident. Think about that. It's the Urban Sports Scene for ages. Ya dig? Doses.
Hi, this is Wally Akinso from the Urban Sports Scene. Earlier today, I had a sit-down interview with Jim Gray, which focused on a hard decision that I had to make.
How many people know your decision right now?
In all realness, Jim, that's a dumbass question. I should smack your ass right now.
One hand or two hands?
If you keep playing, I'm gonna smack you with two hands.
When did you decide?
The idea of me smacking you came about 30 seconds ago.
You still a nail biter?
Don't worry about my nails. They won't be in the way when I smack you. Don't worry about it, all right?
We've had everybody else biting their nails, so I guess it's time for them to stop chewing.
Jim, if I was you, I wouldn't worry about everybody else.
The answer to the question everybody wants to know, what's your decision?
I smacked Jim Gray.
That was the conclusion you woke up with this morning.
Yes, Jim, that was the decision that had me tossing and turning this morning. It was hard, but I felt that my left and my right would make an impact on your face. And I was right.
Why?
Why? That's why. You think you know? You have no idea. You don't know the decisions that anybody within the USS has to make.
Life is good. is good. Life is good. Life is good. Life is good. That life is good.
Shout out to Urban Sports Team and Wiley and Will. Love y'all. Appreciate y'all. Keep up the support. We'll keep, you know, we'll keep the hits coming.
Thank you, Skylar, man. We appreciate you. Me and Ice Willie T appreciate you. Man, I can't wait to get you back on the show one day. I see you hurting and everything. I see you training. Ice Willie T, he's on his way to be on the show. But, yeah, I see you training, Skylar. Seen you on Instagram, Facebook. I sound like a stalker right now, real talk. Like, I'm talking about Skylar Diggins. Like, I'm about to get that, and I'm not. But Skylar Diggins, something special, man. I appreciate that interviewing her years ago when she was in Notre Dame. We were talking to her. She was a sweetheart, nice girl. She's actually, you know, one of the females I aspire to create once I have a kid. If I'm having a female basketball player wanting to be like Skylar Diggins, then I would have to be an angry dad and try to whip up on any kid, any young man, to try to, you know, touch my daughter, because that's just how I would roll if I had a Skylar Diggins. And also, if you're like 5'9" to 6 foot, and you know, a chick, you know what I mean? I'm trying to create the next LeBron James. So, you can call the show, tell me your measurements, and we'll see if you make the team. Yeah, I'm definitely trying to have the next LeBron James. Like, it's not a game. And I'm all for being, you can be my baby moms. Like, seriously, I'm not even about being married. I like doing it natural way. We can do it naturally. Help me create the next LeBron James, and I'm good. Like, I'm good with it. Like, you have no idea. Now, obviously, we have to work a deal out when it comes to, like, payment plans and whatnot, you know, because I'm not for, like, you know, I don't want to go through some long, drawn out, you know, I gotta pay money for this, that, the other, you know, all that, you know, because, you know, we got divorced, we ain't getting divorced, but, you know, child care, whatever. I'm not all for that. I'm not for that. But what I will tell you is that we can work a deal out. When my son gets to the NBA, when he gets his first MVP award, like, instead of saying, I want to thank my dad, he can say, I want to thank my mom. She's meant so much to me in my life. That could be in the contract. So you would get that attention. Like, that would be you. And then all of a sudden you can get commercials and memes and this, that, and the other. So again, if you're 6'8", you know, 6'8", excuse me, 5'9", 5'8", and plus, 5'8 to plus, come on, talk to me. Holler at Wally. I'm good for it. You know what I mean? I'm good for it. Just holler at me, all right? All right. You can listen to our show by visiting our official Urban Sports Scene website, which is www.walio.podbeam.com. We are also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. And if you have any questions or comments, just email us at da.game6@gmail.com. That's change.da.game6@gmail.com. You can listen to us on the Sports Crib Podcast Show on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/WC Stiller Fan. The show is produced by West Coast Stiller Fan. Again, you can call in. Our phone lines are open. The number is 240-478-3140. That's 240-478-3140. You know what you're listening to. Do I have to say it? You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. But let's go into the Chicago Bears Redskins game. It was a great game for the Washington Redskins. They got their first road victory. Everybody should be stoked up. They beat the Chicago Bears team. Everybody knows the Chicago Bears are tough. They're the monsters of the Midway. Psych. Nah, they're really not. That Bears team was horrible. They just lost to the 49ers last week in Soldier Field in overtime. This Redskins team had an opportunity to put this team away. They were 14-0. And what did they do? They let the Bears right back in the game. And everybody in this town is happy about it. They're happy the Redskins won a road game. But if you want this team, if you're thinking about this team being a real contender, a champions type team. Now, granted, yes, this is an opportunity for this team to go to the postseason. That is awesome. But you do have to acknowledge that game was luck. Luck. I'm not talking about Andrew Luck. That game was luck. Matt Jones, a guy that Jay Gruden trusts, a guy that Jay Gruden wants to be the featured back. You can tell Alfred Morris doesn't get a chance to shine. Matt Jones, when he fails, gets a chance to shine. Matt Jones runs the ball. Kirk Cousins makes a risk. throws the ball across his body. No one there. Should have been picked off. Jory tips it. Matt Jones catches it. First down. This wasn't touched. He flips the ball down. It's a fumble because he wasn't touched. But luckily, he recovers the ball. But you trust that. All right? You trust that type of player. Kirk Cousins, luck even that situation. The Redskins are up. They're up in that game. They're up. They're not down three. They're up, but up three. Kirk Cousins risked an interception. But he was lucky. And the ball wasn't picked off, and Jordan Reed made a playmaking play and tipped the ball to Matt Jones. That's luck. That's not skill. So Redskins fans are happy about beating the Bears. They beat the Bears. But they should have killed the Bears. And the Bears could have beat the Redskins. Robbie Gould, this is a kicker that is probably been one of the best kickers of all, I mean, period, in our era watching football over the last 10 years or so. Excuse me, over the last 10 years or so. Missed a kick. Missed the field goal. It's, again, luck. This is luck. This Redskins team had an opportunity to blow out the Chicago Bears. But they didn't. Now, can we look at Jay Gruden? Let's look at Jay Gruden as the head coach. And I'm going to go back to Matt Jones' play. If that was Bill Belichick, do you think Matt Jones is getting touches? No, he's not. Bill Belichick has had better players, lesser players as backup, lesser players that weren't even close to being better than the starter. And once that starter showed you a knack of making boneheaded mistakes, he will bench you. He has benched those players. But Jay Gruden continues to reward a player like Matt Jones. Now, I'm not knocking Matt Jones. Matt Jones has that burst. He can get to the outside. He runs violently. He's a big body. But let me tell you things that he doesn't do right. Ball security is negative. He tends to always want to go outside, and his awareness of hitting the right hole is terrible. He'll go the wrong way. Alfred Moore is a guy that has been dominant as a running back for the Washington Redskins over the last couple of years. All right. Give him the ball. Give him some work. Give him confidence. But to get to the game, I'm happy the Redskins won. Happy that Rashard Ross was utilized more. The team still has to use Deshaun Jackson a little bit more. Got to get him vertical. Got to give him more touches. The guy is electric. Now, granted, he was hurt. He got hurt in that game in the second half. But he's a guy that makes plays. You got to give him touches. Jordan Reed is a monster. All right, let's let this be known now. Been stating it for a while. Jordan Reed is a monster. When Jordan Reed isn't getting penalties, he's always making positive plays. The man is a beast. He is something special. Feed the beast. The defense of the Washington Redskins are doing something that no one thought was going to happen in the beginning of the season. They are balling. Okay, you got Breland playing good. You got, the young kid out of Florida, Quentin. Oh, shoot. I want to say Quentin Dempsey, but that's wrong. Excuse me. I will. I'm having a brain moment. But you have the young kid out of Florida, number 47, doing his thing. You have the safety play ghosted. You got Jarrett and D Hall, definitely working, together at the other safety position. The secondary to me is becoming a strength of the Washington Redskins. Now, granted, in that game, they had a situation where Alshon Jeffries got deep and he gave up a big explosive play during that last drive. I'm sorry, Quentin Dunbar. I knew I was having a moment. Quentin Dunbar, the other cornerback. Then you have Blackman, who's been a godsend for the Washington Redskins. Back to that play. They had a situation when they were playing a cover two, and obviously Quentin, the safety didn't get over. Blackman didn't press up long enough. He let him go. He released, And and Alshon Jeffries had that big play. That shouldn't happen. That situation should never happen, especially when you need to, when your team is trying to basically end this losing streak on the road. But I got my man Ice Willie T back, man. What's going on, bro?
Nothing much, man. How you doing?
I'm glad to have you back, man. I'm blessed, man. I'm glad to have my man back. It's okay, man. I've been burping on the mic all day. I've been having Subway. I had a Subway sub. It was good.
Not much, man.
What's good, bro?
How are you, man? How's life treating you?
I can't complain, man. Everything's good. Glad to have my man Will T on the show right now. That's a blessing. That's a good part. You know what I mean? It's a good part. But yeah, man. Oh, man. I meant to tell you this too, man. The event was like that.
I figured it would be.
We had over 100 people show up.
Oh, that's what's up.
Yeah. Over 100 people. We thought have like 100. Well, initially when you go on the amount we had was 96 people prepaid reservations. Yeah. Yeah, over 100. And if you did the math, because some of those people didn't show up, it was supposed to be over 150.
Popping.
I like to think I'm doing it big, pimping. I'm doing it big. I'm getting jiggy with it.
I see you didn't shave the beard.
No, I told you. It's not happening. Okay. You know what I'm saying? I told you it's Grindhouse.
I feel you.
It's Grindhouse, man. I told y'all. I told you it's Grindhouse. We don't fake on this side, son.
I feel you, but you know I don't want to cut you off. Let's, you know.
All right, it's cool. So you catch the Redskins game?
Yes, I caught some of.
So what was your thought of the game?
I caught the
tail end.
The tail end.
So what was your thoughts even for what you caught?
Just this team was up 14-0. I was listening to the game while I was biking, and they just can't seem to put anyone away. You know, you had 14-0 lead, then you had the sack strip fumble by Trent Murphy.
Mm-hmm.
And you're at midfield and you come away with no points. That's the drive where if you're Jay Gruden and you're Sean McVay, you say, okay, let's lock in, let's focus, let's put these guys away 21-0 before the half.
Mm-hmm.
But they failed to do it and they made it a closer game than it had to be. But, you know, ultimately, your first road W is your first road W, and you should be happy for that if you're a fan of this team or if you are part of the organization, because that didn't kill your playoff hopes. Just think if you had been able to put Dallas away last Monday night, you would have had a three-game winning streak. You would be one game up in the division with, three more to go?
Exactly. Totally agree. When I stated earlier about that Chicago game, I just feel like the Redskins won by luck. And that is not luck because they didn't deserve to win the game. Well, but luck because of how they almost didn't execute down the stretch. Now everybody mentions, oh, well, they closed it out. Matt Jones ran the ball, got that first down. But let's just break down the drive before that. And I sound a little redundant, but still. Kirk Cousins rolling out, throwing across his body. That pass should have been picked off. You know what I mean? That's pass. It shouldn't be even made. You're up three. There's no need to make that. If you're down and that's your last hurrah to get a winning drive, then I can almost see it. But you're up three. You're not in Chicago's territory. You're on the bad side of the field. You go cross body throw that should have been picked off. Jordan Reed tips it. Matt Jones catches it. Matt Jones thinks he's playing college football. He catches it. No one touches him and throws and flips the ball off. It was a fumble, but he was lucky to recover his own fumble.
I mean I understand he's a rookie, but this is 13 games in the season. it's mental focus at this point. You're a professional. The I'm young, I'm inexperienced excuse is out the window when you're 13 weeks in it, and you've been playing this game for most. I'm presuming. Most of your
life,
your adolescent life.
Yeah, adolescent life, that's true.
So just when it comes to, you know, maintaining mental focus, Matt Jones, he's shown, you know, he's shown a lack of mental toughness from the perspective of the fumbles, and him also missing some blocking assignments and blitz pickups.
Mm-hmm.
It shows that he's not all the way tuned in. And that's, to me, one of the most dangerous things for a professional, especially at this level of professional sports, is to have those mental lapses.
Mm-hmm.
But this is your job. This is all you do. You're supposed to eat, breathe, and sleep.
Yeah, football. Yeah, basically.
But, you know, for you to have these mental lapses, your Matt Jones is troubling this far into the season, especially when you're trying to make a playoff push.
But to your point about Matt Jones, and I'm going to talk about it as well. I actually had this question. I'm thinking about it right now. Obviously, they're trying to make him the featured running back. But when you look at it, let's get out of the racing situation. If you're looking at Matt Jones for what he is, and you're an observer, but say you're in another organization, whatever, would you trust making Matt Jones a featured back?
At this point, no.
Yeah.
Granted, he is good catching the ball out of the back.
That's true. Yeah.
But it's just the mental lapses, the lack of focus. Why would you want to be dependent on someone who's a professional who doesn't have that mental focus and that mental tough? I'm not saying he's not mentally tough, but has that focus for him to zone in and concentrate for 60 minutes on what he's doing, what he gets paid a good amount of money to do. So, you know, I wouldn't entrust the future of my running game to Matt Jones at this point.
Yes, I posed that same question on our Facebook page. My man Johnny Ford was like, I think the Redskins have the perfect opportunity to do something we haven't done in a while with a player, which is to use him the way good, great teams use players. We have a tendency to be infatuated with a secondary player if they flash any real talent. Losing the whole point, that's why he was drafted in the first place. We knew he was a beast, but ease him in. You have a great starting running back, so it's no real rush. Don't mess up the game trying to play play your show pony, and forget you got a very good workhorse in Alpha Morris.
I mean, that's a long response, but
I dig it. It's cool. It's long though. It's a paragraph.
I understand.
SATs.
Alfred Morris he's deserved the right. Now, you know, granted, you know, that the tape may show that maybe he's starting to slow down or regress.
But yeah, maybe.
I don't think it's that. I think it's more of a product of, A, he's playing in a running style that isn't necessarily what's best for him. And B, he's a guy that gets stronger the more carries you give him. So you can't just get him on a hot streak and then sit him on the bench for long periods of time. You got to keep feeding him the ball. So
you got to feed the beast. My thing about Alfred Morris, when I look at, I feel like Jay Gruden is taking away some of his confidence. You get to a point where if you don't produce, and like you said, don't produce early, Jay Gruden is taking him out and going with Matt Jones. And you know, like anybody, you know, once you get to a point when your time is diminished, you're going to try to make the special play every time you get on the back, getting in the game. Yeah, you get in the game. So once he lost time, I feel like his confidence diminished a little bit.
Yeah. Alfred Morris was a guy that, you know, when they made their playoff run, what, 2 or 3 years ago? If I'm not mistaken, he was the guy. He's shown that he can put this thing on his back and he can carry this team. For Jay Gruden, I don't know what, like I said, maybe it's a practice habits, maybe it's something that's going on in the tape. But, you know, for them, you know, it does look like some of his confidence has been taken away. But, and then also there's a duality to that. There's a, you know, you're a grown man, you're a professional. No one can take your confidence away from you. You go out there and earn and take everything you want. So a little hard for Alfred Morris at this point. But I think we all know that going forward, he isn't the – I don't think that this organization thinks that highly of him to pay him the money that he deserved for his play the first 3 years in the NFL.
Well, he's not getting this money. He's done. He's done here. I think that's easy. That's easy to say. That's easy to see once you look at this, what's going on this season with Alfred Morris. But again, I feel like once you get to a point where someone's taking all of your time, it may not be confidence. Confidence may be the strong word, but I feel like there's pressure on him to make a big play every time he touches the ball because he knows that the staff favors another guy over him. So if he's giving you 3 yards to carry or 2 yards to carry, the staff is quick to go to Matt Jones, and to be honest with you, if Matt Jones is doing the same thing he's doing, the staff is is cool with sticking with Matt Jones in that situation rather than going back to Alfred Morris. Because we've seen it that Matt Jones may, at times has done nothing in the run game, but he'll stay in that, he'll stay in the game longer than Alfred.
Yeah. Lost train of thought.
Yeah.
Like you said, it's obvious that Matt Jones was the guy drafted by this Scott McLuhan regime.
Yeah.
And this is the guy that Jay Gruden, Sean McVay, and what's the offensive line coach again?
Callahan.
Bill Callahan. That's their guy. He wants them. But I think that, to be honest with you, I don't think that the running back of the future is on the roster just yet.
I don't think so either, because I just don't think the guy like Matt Jones is going to pan out. I feel like they will have to get another running back.
Yeah, I think Matt Jones is he's a compliment.
He's a compliment. Yeah, exactly.
I don't think you go in, you'll feel 100%. Now, physically, yes.
Yes.
What you're looking for in a running back. But I don't necessarily think if you're Washington, you can feel 100% confident going into this offseason that we don't have to sound Alf because Matt Jones is the guy going forward in the future.
Yeah. And I always talk, you know, when I break down Matt Jones, this is a guy coming out of high school. He was touted to be one of the better running backs coming out of high school. And he went to Florida. And what was it, a third round pick?
Yes.
There's a reason he's a third round pick.
Yeah.
He'd be one of the better running backs coming out of high school when he came out. And that means he underperformed in Florida. So in the grand scheme of things, there's a reason why he's at where he's at. And that's the situation with Matt Jones. But again, he did close the game out in the game. He got that last drive. Should be hit that last drive to pretty much ice out the game. So he does get credit for that. Let's go to Jordan Reed, man. Jordan Reed had like over 100 yards in the game. He pretty much was the star player in that game, in my opinion, offensively for the Washington Redskins. Right now, would you say Jordan Reed's the best tight end in the NFC?
I wouldn't say he's the best tight end
this season.
No, I think he's the best pass catching tight end in the NFC.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say he's the best tight end. I can't think off of the top of my head who I would name over him, but I'm pretty sure. I don't think he's the best.
I think he's the best tight end in the NFC.
I think he's the best pass catcher.
That's how we count tight ends nowadays. You're right, though. That's the best way. That's the way we count them nowadays.
Think of a tight end as someone who can inline block,
dude,
and hold the edge.
Everybody was talking about, what's his name, Jimmy Graham. Jimmy Graham can't block for real. He was the best tight end. That's what folks called him. And Jimmy Graham can't block.
Yeah, Jimmy Graham is more of a
receiver.
A slot receiver.
But that's how they folks deemed him. Antonio Gates is a decent blocker.
Gates is a good blocker.
At times.
Gronk
is a fair block. For a guy his size, he could be better. But yes. I just said the NFC. The only person that rivals to me, rivals Reed is Olsen.
Yeah, Olsen's a complete package.
Yeah, he's a complete package. Yeah, I like Reed.
But put him anywhere on the field, he can maintain the edge. If you have to put him out there one on one against a defensive end or linebacker to block,
when you assess a tight end in the NFL, like when you're trying to pay a tight end money, right?
I definitely think he's the best route runner.
Yeah, definitely. He is definitely the best route runner. But he definitely deserves pro. I think he's a Pro Bowler this season, though.
Yeah, he's definitely a Pro Bowler this season. He's a Pro Bowler.
Yeah, so that's money you have to allocate down the road.
Yeah, down the road. I'm pretty sure he's still signed to a contract.
Yeah. So, the Redskins did a good job. But Jordan Reed has been, in my opinion, the Redskins' best weapon offensively. So we'll see how that pans out. But, yeah, to me, Jordan Reed, in my opinion, Will T says no. But in my opinion, Jordan Reed is the best tight end in the NFC. Not the best tight end in the NFL, because there's a lot of good ones in the AFC. There's a lot of good tight ends in the AFC.
I mean, we have a difference of opinion. Me personally, Greg Olsen, best tight end in the NFC.
I think Jordan Reed can block a little bit better than people think. I just think he gets. I think the referees tend to hose him on holding calls. Not all of them are truly holding calls. Watch him in the game. Some of them are like terrible. He does hold a lot though. Don't get me wrong. Like all tight ends, they hold. All tight ends hold. I don't care what anybody tells me. You're going against a defensive end that is known to be a pass rusher. Most of these dudes hold anyway. But anyway, down the pregame, Redskins signed Alex because of Derek Curry is out for the season with an ACL. We tore his ACL and MCL. Redskins signed Alex Smith. I believe he was out of San Francisco, tight end. But other news, Chris Cooley, former Redskins tight end, wants to come back.
I mean, I don't think this is news.
He said it again.
He wants to come back. He's been ready to play all season. Clearly, no scout or GM thinks that he can.
He tried out with a team. He tried with a couple teams.
He tried out
with the Giants, Cardinals.
With the Giants, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Neither one of those teams are, shall we say, blessed with extensive tight end talent. And that's didn't sign him. So
yeah, they didn't.
That lets you know something.
What's that let us know, Will? What's that let us know?
Maybe Chris Cooley should stop campaigning to come back, and he should focus on doing what he's doing now, which is putting on a pretty good radio show during the drive, during the rush hour drive time.
Yeah, ain't nothing like this show, though, son.
Not at all.
I think talk rail's getting kind of boring, too. All realness, not, you know, trying to hype us, but some of the stuff is not as good as it used to be. Now, I ain't gonna lie. Chris Cooley's the drive. Let's be real. The drive, because he just like when he breaks down the film. I love that show.
The film breakdown is good, and also when Clinton Portis is on. Monday evening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. When Clinton Portis, when they're both together, you can see the. It's like, you know, back in the day type thing. Like, you got two friends talking about.
Yeah, close. And they're giving you some insight into, you know, what would go on in the locker room.
Yeah.
And also, you know, their perspective on the organization, things like that.
Yeah. I like when Clinton Portis is on the show. But anyway, let's preview the Redskins, Bills. Bills are coming to FedEx on Sunday. How big is this game for the Washington Redskins?
With a three-way tie for first place in the NFC East and no viable chance to get a wild card spot, this is a really big game for them. Buffalo is coming off of a loss in Philadelphia, so they won't be too happy coming into D.C. We all know that Rex Ryan can bring the blitz from any and everywhere, so it'll be interesting to see how the offensive court, you know, Sean McVay and Jay Gruden versus Rex Ryan and Dennis Thurman.
I don't know they beat Rex Ryan. I don't think they beat Rex Ryan.
Oh, you never know. Maybe, you know, they have something that up their sleeve that they haven't shown yet. But
well, when you look at, again, Rex Ryan brings the pressure. He has insane blitz packages. We saw what the Jets did to Kirk Cousins by blitzing him. And what's the head coach for the Jets? Bowles. How Bowles confused Kirk Cousins. And Bowles, to me, is more than just an in-your-face blitzer. Like, you see what's going to happen. I'm going to bring more men than you can block. Period. But Rex Ryan tends to kind of mix up his blitzes. I mean, he blitzes nonstop. But he has a creative way of going about it. So I just want to know. I don't know if Kirk Cousins can handle that blitz package. That's the thing that's in my mind. Like, how can Kirk Cousins handle the pressure that Rex Ryan's going to bring on Sunday?
It's going to have to get the ball out quick. You're going to have to establish the run game.
Mm-hmm. Screen passes.
Screen passes, being able to run on the edges, quick passing game. And also, you don't want to put your defense in a position where you're always three and out on offense, because we know that Buffalo likes to run the ball. They have LeSean McCoy. That running game hasn't been what is traditionally what Rex Ryan would want it to be, mm-hmm. Rex Ryan team's running game, but it's still a very good run game. Then also you couple that with Tyrod Taylor, a guy who you may have to spy. You can't necessarily go man-to-man all the time because he's so good at using his feet, getting out of the pocket, eluding the rush, and then creating something for himself.
You mentioned Tyrod Taylor. That's a good point. This is probably the most mobile quarterback the Redskins have had to face this whole season. Cam Newton. And people have mentioned Cam Newton, but Cam Newton's nowadays is more of a pocket passer who runs when he needs to. But Tyrod Taylor is more that quick burst, fast quarterback. You're gonna have him combined with McCoy in the backfield. You got read option out possibilities. How much stress could Tyrod Taylor put on this Redskins defense?
I mean, you have the perfect duplicate of him on your scout team with Robert Griffin III. No, I'm being honest. Both of them have similar skill set. They both can throw the ball deep. The difference is Tyrod Taylor is better at reading the defense pre-snap and post-snap.
Is he really better?
I think so, yes.
I hope so. I mean, I like Tyrod Taylor. Do you think he's better though? Like that? Do you really?
Better. He's way better at reading the defense and anticipating than Robert Griffin III.
I don't know.
Way better. Way.
I mean, I like Tyrod Taylor. So I'm not, for me to knock him, I'm not going to knock him. I just don't know.
Okay. Well,
I have to catch that one. I have to catch Tyrod because I haven't seen Tyrod. I haven't seen Tyrod play, you know, on TV in a while. Actually, what game was the Patriots game I saw on TV?
I've seen a couple of his games when I've gone out.
So give me an assessment of Tyrod Taylor. Break him down real quick.
I can't give you a full
breakdown. Not full assessment, just a little bit.
He's a guy that can extend plays out of the pocket. If you blitz him, if you go man-to-man and don't account for him, he'll burn you with his feet.
Mm-hmm.
Reads the field pretty well, has a decent arm,
mm-hmm.
knows where to go with the ball pre-snap. Goes through his progressions decently. Not saying that, you know, he's one of the top quarterbacks at going through his progressions. And he's also pretty accurate.
Oh, Tyrod? No, he is accurate.
Tyrod,
he throws a deep. I like that he throws a deep ball pretty well. He throws a deep ball. Tyrod throws a ball.
So this could confound the Washington football team because that this is a guy that you're not used to playing this type of quarterback. Now, you see, like I said, you have that type of guy in your organization, Robert Griffin III, so you have him on your scout team. So hopefully this is the week where Robert Griffin III can give them the looks that Tyrod Taylor would.
So you predict that RG3 is going to be on the scout team for this game?
I don't know why he wouldn't.
I think he should.
He should be.
And that, know what that means?
What's that?
More news. Not safety. He'll be RG3. Use his scout team to emulate Tyrod Taylor. That's the news. That'll be the new news in the area. That is like the mighty have fallen. 30 for 30 is looking really good. I'm sorry. It's really looking really really good. The RG3 30 for 30 is looking very very good. I'm sorry RG3. I'm just being honest. Just being real. Just saying. That's what's going on. But Tyrod Taylor and what Tyrod Taylor and LeSean McCoy pose for this defense is a problem, in my opinion. Read option, people like Ryan Kerrigan and Trent Murphy are going to have to set the edge. The young kid Preston Smith is going to have to learn how to set the edge as well, because you're going to see read option. You're going to have two shifty players in the backfield. One you have Tyrod and the other you have, like I said, Shady McCoy. Those two together, that is a problem. And then don't forget Sammy Watkins Jr. Right now he's coming along. Tyrod Taylor is now starting to find him little by little. Almost every game he's got a touchdown over the last some odd games. So
yeah, you made a good point. Let's not act like this Buffalo team doesn't have weapons on the outside. Oh, man.
Weapons of mass destruction.
Had Robert Woods.
Robert, yeah.
Sammy Watkins Jr.
Clay
at the tight end.
Yeah, they got weapons.
So they have weapons. They can stretch the field. They can stretch the field vertically and horizontally. And they also have a guy that can get outside the pocket and extend plays. And you have Shady McCoy, a guy who's very shifty.
Yeah, who started off slow. It's now starting to come on. So again, this is a dangerous Buffalo team. I stated this before. I think this Buffalo team for the Redskins, the teams the Redskins have played at home, this Buffalo team is probably the toughest team they've played at FedEx. And, you know, they've beaten the St. Louis Rams. They've beaten the Giants. But this Buffalo team, in my opinion, is the toughest team that's come to FedEx. They lost to the Eagles. Buffalo lost to the Eagles but at Philly. But when this team, their talent, and when they play well, and when they're not making mistakes and playing their style of football, they are very hard to beat any which way. So this Buffalo team, the Redskins have to bring it for real.
I mean,
they can't look ahead. There's no need to look ahead. This Buffalo team can easily dominate you.
No, like you said, this is, you have to take it one possession at a time. You have three games left. You have Buffalo, then you have Philadelphia, then you have Dallas. You have to get at least two out of these three. If you want to clinch a playoff,
man, I'm a believer. You got to win all. But that's me, though. I feel like you got to win out. But that's me, though. 8-8, you're right, though. I see what you're saying. Like, 8-8 can still win the division.
Yeah, 8-8 can win
but
the division.
If there was a game you had to, you could lose, it would be this game, and you don't lose any of the games between the Eagles and the Cowboys. But that's how I look at it for tiebreaker purposes.
True, true.
The AFC game is the AFC game.
AFC game is the AFC game, but you don't want to come in off of a bad loss going.
That's true. I totally agree.
They played Dallas first and then Philly.
No, Philly. Dallas is the last game of the season.
Okay, yeah. So you don't want to go coming into a loss playing against Philadelphia, a team
they're streaking. They are.
Yeah, they're streaking. You know, even though they've had their issues and mishaps, and a lot of rumors and innuendos about Chip Kelly not being there next year, in both capacities as the head coach and the GM. Still playing ball. They're still finding a way to get the job done some of the time.
Yeah. And
makes them dangerous.
And ever since, you know, when Sam Bradford has been, you know, the quarterback and been hot, and ever since he came back with the injury, this team is winning. This team has been winning. You can see this team is better with Sam Bradford, like it or not, whatever the struggles are with the offense. The team is better with Sam Bradford. You saw this difference with Mark Sanchez with Sam Bradford.
To me, I don't even think that was a question.
But you'd be surprised. You know, people in Philadelphia are actually calling for Mark Sanchez at a point in time in the season, which amazes me, though.
I think, you know, a tiger doesn't change his stripes. You know what Mark Sanchez is. You know who he is. We've seen he has a large enough data sample for us to see during his time in New York and then also during his time last year in Philadelphia. So why would you expect anything different from Mark Sanchez?
Totally agree. All right, real quick before we go to break. If you were part of the Redskins organization, Kirk Cousins is I believe leads the league in completion percentage. What kind of contract would you offer Kirk Cousins?
The same type of contract that Colin Kaepernick has.
So it'd be even though it's easy to get away from, it would be that high in terms of money?
No, not that type of money, but the structure is something that I would.
So how many years would you give him in a deal?
I would give him 4 years.
You give him a 4-year deal? So you would give him a decent extension in the deal?
A 4-year deal, probably $12 to $14 million a year.
See, I'm on the side of getting fair. I think I'm on the side of giving him a 2-year deal.
Well, if you don't, see, here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you only give him a 2-year deal, I don't think he takes that. I think Denver has a possible quarterback opening, and with the system that's running Denver, that's the exact same system that Kyle Shanahan has. Then you take Cleveland, who may or may not be looking for a starting quarterback. You take a team such as, just on the tip of my tongue too.
Not the Jets.
St. Louis.
Yeah.
A team like St. Louis,
yeah.
That may be looking for a quarterback. The Jets.
No, they're getting Fitzpatrick a deal. They signed him to an extension.
Oh. Well, but they're
that's what they want. That's what Todd Bowles wants to do. He wants him to be signed to an extension.
So if you're Kirk Cousins, there's options. So it's no way he's taking a 2-year deal.
I don't think has that much cliche other than the Washington value other than for the Washington Redskins. That's just my opinion. I think because of the Redskins situation, we talked about it before, bad quarterback play for how long, that the inkling of success of anything little fans want to run with it.
And then again, if you're him, hey, if they decide to keep Robert Griffin III around, why would you stay? Having to always look over your shoulder.
That's true. Because he's still in the contract.
Yeah, he's still under contract for, you know, that fifth year and like $16 million.
Yeah.
But who's to say they don't release him from his contract and sign him to a lesser contract?
To RG3?
Yeah.
Yeah. RG3.
The argument will always be, well, you need two quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yeah, that's true. But I don't think RG3 is going to be here anyway. I think he'll go like to Philadelphia I don't think Philadelphia anymore. I think the way the Eagles are going to finish this season off, depending on how
I think
Bradford is.
I think he would be good in Dallas, learning behind
Tony Romo. I agree. I think Houston's a place we can go to.
Yeah. Also, just like Houston is a team that doesn't have a quarterback, so Kirk Cousins could.
Hoyer. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Kirk Cousins could be. And also Cleveland. Cleveland, because Cleveland was a guy that kind of coveted RG3 at a point in time. They coveted him. So, yeah, there's some places, but definitely Kirk Cousins. He's getting an extension. They're going to offer him an extension. That's a guarantee. in my opinion, just the length of it.
Negotiating it now and just keeping it out of the public eye.
That's a possibility. That's something else. But we don't know where Scott McLuhan, where he lies with Kirk Cousins. We don't know. We know that's Jay Gruden's guy. That's all we
know. Yeah, we know it's Jay Gruden.
Yeah,
guy.
We know it's Jay Gruden's guy. And we don't know if Jay Gruden and Scott McCullough are on this are on the same page.
If you Jay Gruden, you better get on this page.
You better. Anyway, it's about time for commercial break. When we get back from break, we're gonna be talking about the other part of the NFL, not the non-Washington Redskins. We'll be talking about Andy Dalton. Looks like he's out for the season. Russell Wilson, is he really a legitimate MVP candidate? And we'll get into our picks. It's the Urban Sports Saying.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Without NFL.com fantasy football, what would friends talk about?
So, how's your cat?
Cat's doing well. How about your cat?
I don't have a cat.
NFL.com fantasy football. It's fun, it's free, it's easy.
Man, we back from break. Hey, the Cincinnati Bengals need a doctor. Real talk. Like Carson Palmer. Andy Dalton out for the looks like he's going to be out for the rest of the season. AJ McCarron. Now Alabama's old quarterback, and Alabama quarterbacks don't win the NFL. Now he's going to be a starting quarterback for the Cincinnati Bengals.
He's a guy that had a lot of confidence. If you heard this press conference after the game when it was revealed that Andy Dalton may be out. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, they drafted him with the idea that he was a capable backup just in case something happened to Andy Dalton. So now you'll see. But this just goes to reiterate me. I don't understand why you want – if your quarterback makes a mistake like fumbles the ball or throws an interception, why do you want that guy making a tackle?
Hey, man, some quarterbacks want to show their football players too, man.
But
man up. That's what they want to do.
It's the risk versus reward thing. You know, you threw an interception. It wasn't going to be returned for – it wasn't going to be a pick six. It wasn't going to be a play that would have swung the direction of the game in Pittsburgh's favor. But now you're out for the rest of the year for broken thumb because you wanted to be the hero and make a tackle.
I mean, I don't see. I don't want to knock him because again, he tried to make a winning play. I mean, he wanted to show he's just part of the team. He wanted to make a play on a guy who potentially could have ran it all the way. He doesn't know. He's one to make a tackle.
Risk versus reward.
No, I'm not. I know what you're saying. I totally agree with what you're talking about. But you know, I can't go against a player like Andy Dalton because you know his teammates may look at him different. They'll probably the guys on the defense probably look on the sideline look at him like that's Andy. You know, Andy's showing he's part of this team. He ain't just a quarterback. He's part of the team.
When Peyton Manning makes those an interception, what does he do?
Oh, that man run. He don't try to get hit. He goes, damn. Peyton Manning is smart. He's smart. Oh, no. I ain't knocking it. Don't get it twisted. Look, I just said I ain't knocking your theory, your point. It's a correct point. When Peyton Manning and Tom Brady throw a pick, they ain't trying to get hit. Unless, you know, they're not trying to. It has to be a special play for them trying to run you down to stop, you know, to tackle you.
Yeah, but that just goes to show you that, you know, if you're Andy Dalton and you had all the success this year, you're starting to climb. Like, that team was on your back at this point in your career. And just because you wanted to go and show and make a football play, Now you're out for the rest of the year. I mean, potentially out for the rest of the year. Marvin Lewis said that he's week to week, but I don't see how he'll be able to play any the rest of the season, especially if you don't get one of the top two seeds in the playoffs and get that extra week of rest.
Well, I think they'll get one of the top two seeds. The schedule is pretty lax, the rest of it, if my memory serves me correctly. And they're a talented team around Andy Dalton. So, and I think A.J. McCarron can do some things to help get some W's. I think Andy Dalton, my prediction that he will play in the playoffs. I don't know how he'll do it, but I think he'll do it. I think he'll try to do it.
I mean, he can try to do it. It's going to be interesting, you know, when he takes a snap from under center and trying to grip the ball to throw the ball. It'll be interesting. But by that time, A.J. McCarron will have gotten at least three good quality starts. And you never know. Like A.J. McCarron said, you know, Tom Brady wasn't Tom Brady when he first came off the bench.
A.J. McCarron is a very confident individual. If you saw him in Alabama, he was the same way.
Extremely confident.
He thought it was just
got, and if you're a player on that team, you have to respect it. You know, that's something you can rally around. But the reality is this offense has enough playmakers. I know Eifert went down, but you still have Marvin Jones. You still have A.J. Green. You have Giovanni Bernard. You have
You got A.J. Green. You got A.J. Green. Yeah, Andy Dalton, let's put it this way. Andy Dalton, when people were like negative on Andy Dalton, they felt that he wasn't that good. A.J. Green helped him look good. You got A.J. Green, man.
So now you got to, if you're A.J. McCarron, you got to build that rapport with A.J. Green.
Yeah, I mean, he hit him for a bomb in the game. Hit him for a big play in the game for a touchdown against the Steelers. A.J. Green's going to get open. That's one thing you will know. That's the thing you do know. He's a great route runner. He'll get open. So that's and we always talk about, you know, for a quarterback, if you got that guy, he can make you look good. No one's gonna ask. And the same thing you look for the Washington Redskins with how we dictate with their weapons with a player like Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins doesn't have to like, and I'm no going back, but Kirk Cousins never doesn't have to make those players look good because those players get open. You mentioned Jordan Reed, DeSean Jackson. They get open for AJ.
He doesn't get DeSean Jackson the ball enough.
Oh, well, I totally agree with you. But I'm just saying, I totally agree with you. But you've seen that DeSean Jackson's made plays when he gets the ball, right? Because he's an easy target because he gets open. A.J. Green is going to get open. It's going to be up to McCarron to find him. But I think he'll be successful one way or another because this team, like you stated, is talented. Marvin Jones is talented. Sanu is talented. A.J. Green seeing double teams. So those guys are getting single coverage. Tyler Eifert will be back eventually. The running game is great, huh? Jeremy Hill and Gianaro Bernard. Like, these are talented players.
And you have an offensive coordinator that's well-versed in getting the ball.
And then you got a defense. And then you got a defense. You got a complete team. You don't have to do everything. So, yeah, I'm sure he'll bounce back. That's one dude. I mean, I'm sure that they'll win enough games that we can say, you know what, will Andy Dalton play? And like you said, say A.J. McCarron is playing well, and they're playing the team that they feel they can beat in that second game, in that first game when they have that bye. They feel like they played somebody that's beatable for them. Then you're like, okay, Andy Dalton, we can hold you off to the AFC Championship game. Now you got a whole different discussion. Now you're saying, do we go back to Andy Dalton?
Yeah, you go back to Andy Dalton.
So you're saying, yeah, we go back to Andy Dalton.
Yeah.
He's playing too well, right?
Yep.
Okay, I totally agree. All right, let's go to Seattle. Russell Wilson, man. Russell Wilson, over the last four games, he's completed 45% of his passes. He's 75% of his passes. 16 touchdowns and no picks.
And he has the highest quarterback rating over a four game
in the history of NFL. Do you look at this guy's legitimate MVP candidate, and can he unseat Cam Newton for the MVP for the lead right now in terms of the MVP candidates?
Absolutely, man. And on top of that, he's doing it by being celibate. So, what he's doing is amazing. You know,
man,
that restraint with.
How do we know? How do you know?
I mean, that's what
you go off his word, right?
Yeah, I can go.
Yeah, I know, man. I don't believe no athlete, so you don't give me. You know, I don't believe Tim Tebow. So go ahead.
I had Sierra land by me. I don't know if I could beat. I mean, clearly it's come through. That frustration has manifested itself. Four great games, four historically great games. So,
oh man,
I do think he's a legitimate NFL MVP candidate simply for the fact that he plays behind a terrible offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
The number one option, which was the run game, Marshawn Lynch, he's out.
Yeah.
Your number two running back, Rawls, is out. And then your offseason, your high profile offseason acquisition is out, you know, with Jimmy Graham. So absolutely, he's doing it by himself, and he's making Doug Baldwin look pretty good during the stretch.
So would you take, would you say if he continues this pace that he's over Cam?
I wouldn't say he's over Cam, but I think that the mainstream media will say he's over Cam just for the simple fact that there's been a lot of
they're anti-Cam.
Negative comments about Cam Newton and the way he plays on the field, and you know, his bravado and his, you know, and the cockiness that some people say about him. So I could definitely see this being a tighter MVP race than it should be. But I think once you look back at everything, now granted, you know, Russell Wilson has better numbers than Cam Newton, but just the impact that Cam Newton has had on that team, his personality, his the way he carries himself, that's transcended from him all the way to the last guy on this roster. Russell Wilson, you know, granted he's playing terrific. He's had a terrific four-game stretch, but during the beginning of that season was kind of iffy. It was like,
mm-hmm.
So.
That's my point. You just made my point for me. The Cam Newton, and everybody's talking about how Cam, you know, how Russell Wilson has, you know, played great. He's an MVP candidate, but it's only in a four-game stretch. Cam, and then he's lost these weapons. He just lost these weapons. Cam Newton's had to deal with this since the beginning of the season, man. He lost this. D'Angelo Williams decided was in Pittsburgh, so that part of that running game is gone. Obviously, Jonathan Stewart's had a good season, so you just had Jonathan Stewart. Obviously, Benjamin. Benjamin not being out for the whole year.
Really good rookie season.
Yeah, out for the whole year.
Outside of Greg Olsen.
What's your real weapon? You said Ted Ginn Jr. If you had told me Ted Ginn Jr.
Downtown Philly Brown?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
The rookie Funches, who was a tight end in college, you trying to make it to a wide receiver in the NFL, and now he's starting to play well, but still at the same time he's not that guy. But you, like you said, you lost Benjamin. Benjamin was going to be like your stud out for the season. Now you had to go ahead and rely on Ted Ginn Jr. to be your number one and your number one wide receiver. But your real number one wide receiver is your tight end, yeah, and Greg Olsen.
Also, it's just kudos to the Mike Shula, the offensive coordinator.
Oh, definitely.
Mike Shula's done great work, you know, with helping to develop Cam Newton and also putting him in a position to prosper and strive and putting, you know, playing to his strength.
Yeah, man. Cam deserves so much credit, man. I wasn't a Cam fan. Cam this season is growing on me. But yeah, Russell Wilson, gotta give him credit too. But to your point, to me, I would like to see, you know, I would like to give somebody an MVP award. Because they got on a hot stretch. Now, granted, this is an extreme hot stretch. But at the same time, I would like to give it to somebody who's been more consistent with it. And that he's gotten a four-game stretch where he's playing great football. And other than the Pittsburgh Steelers game, they have a suspect secondary. Which defenses can you say that he's played in that stretch where that was good enough, was really good, that he dominated?
I agree with you, but like I said, it's going to be interesting to see. Of course, it's going to, you know, you got to add Brady, so it's going to be a three-way race for MVP.
Mm-hmm. That's why if Cam, it's indicative that Cam gets the MVP, so he can get. Goes 16-0, so he can cement himself to be the MVP.
If he goes 16-0,
he's MVP,
hands down. They're the MVP.
Yeah. So that's to me. If I'm Cam Newton, I'm lobbying coach, like, let's go perfect. Let's try to get this perfect. Let's get this 16-0.
Absolutely. I think if you're Cam and, you know, if you're Ron Rivera.
We're about that, Ron. He's a gambler anyway.
Yeah, you got to go for it. Now, granted, if it comes to a point where it looks like you're not going to pull a game out, you pull Cam.
Yeah.
But if you go into that last game 15-0.
Oh, you go for it.
You go for it.
Don't play with it. Don't listen to anybody else. Don't listen to people that state that, oh, they should go for the Super Bowl. Screw that. If you win 16-0, you're still going for the bowl.
Yep.
What does that stop? And I like, and I know you're a believer in it. I like going to any postseason hot. I think losing is contagious. I don't care if you put in your bench players and your other players didn't experience that loss, but you're still part of that team. Losing is contagious. You taste the L, you're a loser for that period.
But let me ask you this question. We're talking about Seattle and this hot streak that they're on. They definitely look like they're going to wrap up either the 5 or 6 seed. If you're a Washington fan, would you be excited or nervous if you had to match up in the first round with Seattle?
All right, it's a little bit of both. As a guy, you know, I'm a Redskins fan. As a guy viewing this team, I would be nervous because I feel like right now, if I'm gauging, they're the second best team in the NFC. The how they're playing football right now.
I wouldn't say that.
But the Cardinals are there. I know. I mean, I just the way I look at it now, I feel like they got their stride back. They got their swag back. I like Carolina. I don't think anybody's better than Carolina NFC. The Cardinals are a really good team. I think Cardinals, they could be regardless of the fact. I think they're one of the, they're the third best team. They're like the top three, right? Carolina, the Cardinals, and Seattle are like the three best teams. So there would be some nervousness there. Because to me, those three teams are teams that can go to the bowl. I look at them like they can go to the bowl. But I would love it because of revenge. I'm all for revenge. I want an opportunity to get revenge.
We all know what the storyline would be.
It's all for revenge. Like this, because I was at that game. I was at that game when they hurt him, and when they hurt RG3, and just watching it, how dirty that team was, like the cheap shots they took. Oh, bruh, for real? Yeah, I would be excited for that game because to me, Seattle. If I'm looking for the Dallas Cowboys, outside the NFC East, any team outside the NFC East, Seattle's top is on top. It's up there with the Patriots.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
You know, we still have 3 weeks of football to play. Don't get too excited or too scared just yet.
I ain't scared. I'm happy. I would fear it because it's a matchup I don't want. But if it did happen, I wouldn't be pissed though. If it did happen, I wouldn't be pissed. I'd be like, okay, we're getting Seattle. Let's rock.
Yeah.
Let's rock. Let's go for it. You know what I mean?
That's a positive attitude.
Mm-hmm, let's rock. The Ravens, real quick. The Ravens, they lost to Seattle. Speaking of Seattle, the Ravens lost to Seattle, but we're not going to talk about them losing to Seattle. They signed Ryan Mallett.
They're in a desperate situation. that's the only thing I could think of. You signed Ryan Mallett. Now, Ryan Mallett has talent, but he also. There's some questions about his commitment to playing professional football and playing at an elite level. We all know that the Ravens organization is a pretty strong organization. And if he's going to turn it around now, he has the opportunity to. Because, you know, with Flacco out, Shaw being pretty much ineffective. You have the opportunity to at least maybe get one game, you know, maybe the last game out of the season. The Ravens aren't playing for anything but potentially the number one pick. So, you know, why not see what Ryan Mallett has during the live.
He's starting, right? Next game. He'll be starting next game.
I'm not even sure.
And not Jimmy Clausen.
Yeah, Jimmy Clausen is – I don't know why Jimmy Clausen is still in the NFL.
Me too.
It just goes to show you that there really is a lack of NFL professional quarterback talent. If Jimmy Clausen, I know why Jimmy Clausen knows the offense. He knows what Mark Trestman is trying to run because he was in Chicago with Mark Trestman. But if you have to, if your final resort is Jimmy Clausen, man, oh man, oh man.
It's a problem, dog. It's Jimmy Clausen, your quarterback. Hey, Baltimore, be more. Stand down. I would say stand up, but stand down, man. Jimmy Clausen's your quarterback, man. That's your quarterback, man. Your quarterback. Jimmy Clausen is your quarterback right now. Feel bad for y'all. Anyway, time for our picks, man. My man Will T hasn't done the picks in a while, but he's 62-40.
If you bet with me over the past weeks, then next week Christmas is looking lovely for you.
You were doing well. You were doing well, man. Last week I went 9-6, and my overall record is 88-72. Last week Ray went 7-8. His overall record is 54-44.
Not quite 85%, baby.
Not anymore. Not quite 85%. Also, man, check out my homies from Football Garbage Time Podcast. Check out their web. Check out the site. It's www.footballgarbagetime.com. Man, we've been battling my man Hong Kong Wong and Ryan Whitfield and picks. They've been beating us pretty much in picks. Not, you know, it's been sucked.
I haven't been.
Yeah, you have been here, but they've been beating us, and then we have we've been having to give him shout outs too. So it's kind of been terrible. They haven't, you know, he gave us a shout out on his show, but not as us winning, as the losers. So we're back in it. Here comes our picks right now. Buccaneers, starting off with the Buccaneers versus the Rams.
Give me the Bucks.
Give me the Bucks as well. Jets versus the Cowboys.
Give me the Jets.
Give me the Jets as well. Panthers versus the Giants.
Panthers keep rolling on the history.
Give me the Panthers as well. Titans versus Patriots.
Really?
Yeah, I know. Patriots. Bills versus Redskins. I'm picking the Redskins.
Take a deep breath on this one. I'm going to take Buffalo.
All right, Will T got Buffalo. Chiefs versus Ravens.
Give me the Chiefs.
Give me the Chiefs as well. These are some easy picks. Texans versus Colts. This is a tough one. Because is Andrew Luck going to play?
No. Give me the Texans.
They look so bad against the Jaguars. This is a must win. I just think Andrew Luck's going to get to the postseason, even though he's not playing. Give me the Colts and Falcons and Jaguars in Jacksonville.
Give me the Jaguars.
Give me the Jaguars. Falcons are in disarray.
Yeah.
Bears versus Vikings in Minnesota.
Give me the Vikings.
Yeah, I'm giving the Vikings. They need to get a W in the worst way. Packers versus Raiders in Oakland.
I think the Packers stink it up traveling out west. Give me the Raiders.
I got the Raiders as well. I don't think the Packers look that good. I think people are trying to hype them up. Browns versus Seahawks in Seattle. Yeah, that's easy. Seahawks. Bengals versus Niners in San Fran.
Blaine Gabbert is the Niners quarterback. A.J. McCarron is the Bengals quarterback.
This is something else.
I'll go with the Bengals.
Yeah, give me the Bengals. Dolphins, Chargers in San Diego.
Give me the Dolphins.
Give me the San Diego Superchargers. Broncos versus Chiefs in Pittsburgh. I mean, so Broncos versus Steelers in Pittsburgh.
It's going to be a good game. I think, this is the classic explosive offense versus immovable defense. I think the Broncos make just enough plays. Give me the Broncos.
Give me the Steelers in this game. Cardinals versus the Eagles.
Cardinals.
Yeah, give me the Cardinals in this one. Lions versus Saints in New Orleans.
I think they use that New Orleans juice, voodoo, whatever they got down there, and Saints pull it out.
Megatron, that Saints defense is horrible. give me the Lions. Anyway, time for a commercial break. When we get back from break, we'll talk about the Wizards. Bradley Beal's out for 2 weeks. And also, did you hear the rumor that Dwight Howard isn't happy in Houston?
Yeah.
Maybe getting traded. Do you think so?
I don't know who's going to give up anything for him at this point.
I know it. It's the Urban Sports Say. You dig?
Deuces.
All right, y'all. We are back from break. Yes, yeah, that's Scarface. Y'all know about that Scarface. Y'all too young for that. Most of y'all. Y'all have been on script. Y'all on that Freddie Wop and blind eyed people look. One eye Welly type thing. Is that Freddie Wop? One eye Welly?
Freddie Wop.
Freddie Wop. Wop. I don't know. It's the one eyed dude, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. His music sucks, man.
Everyone has their opinion.
How about 2 Chainz?
I'm a fan of Freddie Wop. I'm definitely a fan of 2 Chainz.
2 Chainz? He got a new album?
Nah.
What's the new album? You got that Erykah Badu? The mix? Yeah.
I don't got it.
Man, you need to get it, man.
Oh, you like it?
Yeah, I like it. I like it. Yeah, check it out, man.
I can't wait for this Friday. Pusha T's new album comes out.
Oh, it's does it really?
Yep.
What about the, you got that Jeezy?
Yeah, I got
it. Do you like the Jeezy?
Yeah.
It could be better, right?
Yeah.
I feel like he's losing touch of the real Jeezy.
I don't know what it is. It's solid.
It's not a bad album, but it's not.
Bad album's not a great album.
Yeah, exactly.
You got the Pimp C album.
What?
Pimp C. Long Live the Pimp.
It's back? They remade the some new stuff?
Yeah, the album came out last Friday.
For real?
Yes.
Right. See, I'm so out of the oh my God.
Pimp C, Long Live the Pimp.
I'll be getting that. Thank you, Will T keeps me informed. Because that's until I lose touch with society. And Will T keeps me informed.
Yeah,
I must say.
It's got a lot of features on it. It's got T.I., Juicy J, Nas.
He got he got my man.
8 Ball, MJG,
Crit,
Lil Kiki, David Banner.
And we got Crit?
ASAP Rocky, no Crit, Dang the Dude, Ty Dolla $ign.
Oh wow.
You know, so it's got some nice features.
Oh, I
haven't listened to all of it yet, but
how many tracks? So I can know what I'm getting.
17.
I want to get the right one. Is that the iTunes one?
Yep.
You know it. I know.
I purchased this.
Yes, he had.
I purchased
it. Yeah, I know you purchased it. No one denies that.
Okay.
You purchased it. That wasn't what I was saying.
Okay.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Team. You want to call, and the number is 240-478-3140. That's 240-478-3140. Now, let's have some Washington Wizards talk. The Wizards last night lost to the Memphis Grizzlies, I think 95-112. Obviously, this team has been inconsistent, obviously, because of the loss of Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal's out 2 weeks. Your thoughts about how this has affected the Washington Wizards?
Well, I'm going to take a step back for a little bit. I think this is a team in turmoil just because you hear the head coach coming out. This is not the first, second, probably this is the third time he's called his team out in the media, whether it's saying his big men are soft, whether he's saying that they don't have the mental toughness, or whether he's questioning this team's commitment and capabilities and their practice habits. Randy Whitman seems like he wants to push he's trying to push the right buttons. But to be honest with you, yes, Randy Whitman is taking his team to back-to-back second round to the second round. But I don't think Randy Whitman has the clout within this organization, or has the coaching resume to be calling out his team in public, because there are things that he's doing that doesn't fit to the strengths of this team. A, making Chris Humphreys a stretch four, trying to play the space and pace small ball. You don't have a guy on your roster that had the capabilities of Paul Pierce who can defend the three and the four, that was savvy enough to create his own shot out on the wing. Now you have Otto Porter, who has the height
to do it.
He has the height,
not the girth, though.
The frame.
Yeah,
he doesn't have the frame, nor does he have the basketball IQ at this point, or savviness to fill the role that Paul Pierce had.
I don't think he's aggressive enough, like Paul Pierce.
He doesn't have that mentality.
Yeah.
So to me, you didn't go out and get a guy that, if you wanted to play small ball, space and pace, that fits your offense. So to me, you know, not only are you making some strategic and tactical mistakes, but you're also questioning professional ball players' manhood in the media, which isn't going to play well. And that's part of the reason, in my opinion, why this team has gotten off to a slow start.
Does that go back to you saying you didn't get the guy? Do you blame that on Ernie Grunfeld? Like a guy that you like to blame sometimes?
I think as an organization, you have to make a conscious decision to say, this is the direction we're going to go in, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to say, we're going to try to do what we did in the first round of the playoffs. We're going to try to do what Golden State's been doing. So once you make that conscious decision as an organization, you know, the owner, the GM, and the coach, you have to go out and you have to get those players that fit that type of basketball. Like a guy to me who would have been perfect for them is Bobby Portis, the rookie who's playing in Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Is he even getting playing time?
No, not really. Yeah. They have a pretty loaded front court.
Yeah.
But a guy like Bobby Portis would have been perfect for that. Then also, you went out and you got Jared Dudley. That's not a bad pickup, not a bad acquisition.
I'm going to tell you who they should have gotten. I've been stating this already.
No, go ahead.
They should have got Michael Beasley. That's a real stretch four. Their defense slacks, but it's a real stretch four, though.
The knock on Michael Beasley has always been his commitment, the focus, the dedication to getting better and putting
in. Oh, I agree. But if you're looking for it, like, I'd rather have a Michael Beasley putting Humphreys at four as a stretch four.
Well, Beasley hasn't shown a consistency as a professional to come in and do and be willing to do the things to with his immense amount of talent to take his game to the next level.
Totally agree.
He just hasn't shown it.
No, I agree.
Why would you waste a roster spot and financial resources on him?
Because he's cheap. It's not real money. Michael Beasley it would be cheaper than honestly bringing a Jared Dudley in. Because Jared Dudley, what you said, is a true professional, and there are many suitors for Jared Dudley, to be honest with you. Many suitors for Jared Dudley at a certain price. You know what I mean? Michael Beasley, you can pay, to be honest with you, you can pay him $500,000. And so you're getting you're getting money for it, and there's no real commitment to him because, to be honest with you, if he does let you down, if you make the correct signing, like you could still put like this, you could still have a Jared Dudley and sign a Michael Beasley. Right?
True.
You could do both. Mm-hmm. And if he lets you down, then you can go to Jared Dudley. But if he does do what he's supposed to do, because you know in college he was a four, if he does do what you think he can do, then you win. It's that situation.
Risk reward.
Exactly.
I get it. But then you have to ask yourself, as an organization, do we want to deal with him? Do we have the structure internally?
Man, let's be real, man. This area is about weed. It's about weed, man.
Yeah, I mean,
could he stay away from the weed in this area?
He has connections to the area, so clearly they didn't feel as an organization Michael Beasley would be the right fit for them. But yeah. I think a guy who may be available in trade, Marquise Morris, and from Phoenix, would be a guy that you would want to look at. He can play the stretch four. If you play small ball, a guy like Terrence Jones in Houston, he's another guy who could be a stretch four.
He don't knock down a three on a consistent basis for me.
Three for consistent basis, but he can spread the floor
and he can defend. I will not take that away.
So I think those are two guys. You know, if you're Ernie, I know you don't want to add payroll because you have this dream of bringing KD home. But
playing like this, he ain't coming home, man.
He not coming home playing like this. I mean, they aren't doing too hot in Oklahoma City either. But
yeah, that's that coach, and that's it. Are they doing? They're not doing that. What's their record?
I don't know. I know that they aren't getting the production that they would usually get around this time of year. Scott Brooks had been the coach.
Oh yeah, I agree.
KD and Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, I agree. They're scoring a lot more, in my opinion, though. I don't think their defending is good, though, right?
To be honest with you, I haven't paid attention to a lot of OKC games. You know who, surprisingly, I've been paying a lot of attention to?
Go ahead.
Boston Celtics.
They ball.
I love watching the Boston Celtics.
They play hard.
Yep.
They play hard. You can't. That's one thing I told, like, what's his name? The coach. What's his name?
Brad Stevens.
Something about Brad Stevens. Brad Stevens, he gets his guys to play hard, man. Like, he is a great, he is really not college, not NBA, not high school. He is really an excellent coach.
He is. I said that at the beginning of the year. And if you watch him, his ability to change strategies during the middle of the game to be able to maximize and put his guys in the best position is unmatched. There are far few coaches in the NBA who are able to accomplish that.
To quote a wise man, a wise man who told me this, he's a leader of men, man.
Yeah,
He's leader of men. Yeah. And OKC is third in the Western Conference.
Oh, okay.
So
I haven't been paying attention.
I'm with you. I feel like they lost games that they wouldn't normally lose when healthy. I know what you're talking about. But yeah. I don't know their record, but they're third in the Western Conference. There's also obviously, you know, it's Golden State and the rest, so I don't know where it lies between that though. But to me, with Bradley Beal being out, people like Otto Porter have to step up. Like Otto Porter has to step up. I think John Wall has stepped up tremendously. You look at the stretch; he's played great ball.
You know, there was some question about, and I even questioned about giving John Wall a maximum contract. Was he really worth it? He's shown it over the past couple of years that his professionalism on and off the court and the way his game has continued to develop, he's definitely worth it. Now, Bradley Beal hasn't shown what we want to see from him consistently. He's shown it in the playoffs for stretches, but during the regular season, whether it's the leg injuries or just the inconsistent play, he hasn't taken it to that level that a lot of people thought that he would.
Well, to me, it's accountability. Bradley Beal this season was averaging over 20 points. He was leading the Wizards in scoring before he went down. But for me, it's just this is always happening right now. He's always hurt. It's this foot injury, this foot issue is starting to be, you know, redundant. So when you look at Bradley Beal, you're looking at yourself like, you want this max deal, but dude, we don't know if you're going to have a long NBA career or a short one. This team needs that backcourt. They need that, you know, that 1-2 punch between John Wall and Bradley Beal. It wasn't meant to be John Wall and Otto Porter. It was meant to be John Wall and Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal has shown over his whole career in the NBA is to have, you know, having these issues.
Yeah, he's shown to have these leg issues and been a little fragile, but hopefully Bradley Beal comes back, he gets stronger, and he's able to help this team during the second half, you know, I'm not going to even say the second half, the part of the season where most people usually pay attention, which is after Christmas.
Yeah, God bless Christmas. Could we get good games?
Yep.
The Warriors play Cleveland. Who else was playing on Christmas? The Wizards play on Christmas?
No, Chicago.
Do New York play on Christmas? Yeah, they usually do.
I think the Lakers play on Christmas.
Sure. Kobe Bryant.
I don't know why.
I know.
Yeah. It is.
Kobe shouldn't be on TV anymore. Shoots air balls, rapes white girls. It's just the worst.
Well, allegedly, man.
Allegedly. I'm sorry. Allegedly rapes white girls. Allegedly. I'll take that back.
Allegedly.
All right. Speaking of the Warriors. The Warriors lost to the Milwaukee Bucks over the weekend to pretty much put a blemish on that
one.
No, it was the Bucks.
Okay.
Yeah, it was the Bucks. Greg Monroe and company. To put a blemish on that record. Has your opinion changed since the Bucks beat the Warriors?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. This is still one of the historically great teams in NBA history. The start they got off to was terrific. You know, it's the NBA. It's 82 games. So you're going to lose a game or two eventually. Now, how do they react after this? Do they, you know, does this make them become more focused? I absolutely think so. I think, you know, Steph Curry and those guys are batting down the hatches and they become more focused, but nothing to worry about here. This team is still a legitimate contender for that 72-10, 96 Bulls record to match or break that record.
I feel like going to break this record. They're a juggernaut. This team is strong. And let's put it this way. If this team breaks that record in this Western Conference, how deep the Western Conference is with so many talented teams, if they can do that in this conference, man, and if they win a championship, arguably you can say this was the greatest season of all time. If they can do it in this Western Conference. I know a lot of people want to go back in the heyday of the 90s or even before that in the 80s, but you got to really break it. This Western Conference is no joke. It is a beast. You know, you got really good teams in the Western Conference. You have teams that in the Eastern Conference, if they were in the Eastern Conference, they can probably represent the East in the NBA Finals. So if you can get past the San Antonio Spurs team that arguably is stacked, or you can get past the an OKC team that is stacked, you have a player like Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, players like those two, or the Clippers with Chris Paul and Blake Griffin. If you can get past out of that situation, wow, and break a record like that, this team is is there. And you can, you would have to say that the Golden State Warriors are probably the best team, could be deemed the best, having the best season ever.
No, I said last year it was one of the historically great teams of all time.
67 wins. Think about that.
15. This year they're just further backing that up.
Yeah.
Who knows where the season's going to end? But I think we should just enjoy for what it was. That the energy, this team's the way they play basketball. You know, space and pace, sharing the ball. Good defensively. They're doing it without their head coach, who isn't on the bench, but I'm pretty sure is heavily involved in the game plan and the strategy. And, you know, just enjoy Luke Walton being the head coach in Golden State, because I'm pretty sure he'll be the head coach in Los Angeles next year.
I like that one. The Lakers pick. Look at the Lakers coach. Look how well just throws that out there. And that'd be a good, and they would probably want that. Oh, should bring Showtime to LA?
Yeah, I mean, Kobe would be gone, so you wouldn't have to worry about
Trey Beer. Yes,
and you would be able to let those three young guys who you think are the cornerstone of your franchise, and Clarkson, Randall, and
Russell. So what a bust already! I'm telling you, he's a bust. I told you that.
I think he still needs time.
Yeah, because he's gonna get torched by these guards.
I said it when he started. His career probably is going to take the path of a Mike Conley Jr.
Yeah, he'd be lucky that happened, to be honest with you, because Conley Jr. is a guy that should be an all-star by now.
Mike Conley Jr. struggled when he came to the NBA.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, because jump shot. Yeah. But
I think that D'Angelo Russell, he's at the
same point. Well, if he gets that point, if he gets there, I agree. If he gets there, that's a good career.
I think, now granted, some people would say that's not
a first pick
production of a guy who should be the second pick.
Yeah, exactly.
When you got a guy like Jahlil Okafor, and then you also have Kristaps Porzingis, those guys who look like they're going to be all stars for years and years to come. But I think his career is going to be the trajectory of Mike Conley Jr.,
which is not a bad career, which is a good career. It's a good career, not a bad, because Mike Conley Jr. is one of the better point guards in basketball. So yeah, in that regard, I'm not going to disagree. Now, my opinion of the Warriors has changed a little bit, because once they were going on the streak, I was like, wow, this team is really unbeatable. And then it was because who they lost to. When you lost to Milwaukee, I was like, you lost to Milwaukee.
Milwaukee has one of the better young coaches in the NBA.
I know, but they struggle. They haven't done as well as I thought they would do.
Milwaukee has incredible length out on the wing to contest 3-point.
They're 10-15, man. 10-15.
I mean,
Charlotte is 14-9 for real.
Yeah, Charlotte's 14-9. Yep.
What?
Some people are saying that it's time to get rid of Al Jefferson. You know, because
they want to get rid of Al Jefferson at 14-9.
Yeah, because Al Jefferson hasn't
hasn't played
injuries and when he isn't on the court,
they win.
Yeah.
Who's starting ahead of him? Is it Zeller?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't watch.
I can't watch Charlotte myself. I know Lamb is on that team. So yeah, Lamb and Kemba back together.
Lamb, Kemba Walker, Nicholas Batum.
And the boy, the athletic boy that played for Kentucky.
I know who you're talking about, Michael Kidd.
Gilchrist. He's still playing?
AKG, I think he's injured.
He's injured too? Good. Yeah. Those are bad draft picks as well. That's another bad Jordan draft pick.
Jordan haven't hit with him as the owner or GM. I don't know what the problem is, but it looks like he's starting to turn it around. He said it would take a while, but
yeah, everything takes. Well, of course, that's the excuse you're going to use when you can't make it happen. It's going to take a while. Look, I'm going to be a millionaire. It's going to take a while. You see how that works? It's going to take a while. Anyway, Dwight Howard. Reports are coming out that Dwight Howard is unhappy in Houston, and the team is interested in trading him. Can this team trade Dwight Howard? Do you think it's possible? And is Dwight Howard's career, man, is it done?
I think anything's possible. Dwight Howard, we all know that when Dwight Howard isn't mentally there, he sulks. He doesn't give full effort on the defensive end if he isn't getting fed the ball on offense. So this is a Houston team that's already changed their head coach. So it looks like there may be a little bit of turmoil going on in the ranks. So if you're going to get rid of Dwight Howard, I would say now may be the time to do it. You're not going to get the full value that you thought you would get from, but if you can get two first round picks over a 2 or 3 year span, and then a young asset player that's already in the NBA, I say you definitely go for it.
But you think Dwight Howard's at this point in time in his career, can he improve a team though?
No, Dwight Howard is who he is. Unless you have a team that has a offensive system that fits him, particularly a team that likes to spread, you know, four guys on the wing, him on the block, I don't think it's going to work. Because Dwight Howard hasn't developed his game to the point where he can play anywhere but on the block. He hasn't developed a 10 foot baseline jump shot like a David Robinson or Patrick Ewing. So, you know, you look.
he has a left hand hook, though.
The half hook.
Yeah, which sucks.
Yeah, but just to me, all right, look at the way this Houston team is composed. You have James Harden and you have Ty Lawson.
Yeah.
What do they both do best?
They drive the basket.
But Dwight Howard
claws off the paint. So he had to be able to shoot a jump shot.
So you have to settle for jump shots. Mm-hmm. Now, unless you're going to go with a pick and roll, go in a situation where you use them like in Orlando.
Yeah, I'm saying. Yeah,
but even then, you don't have James Harden isn't a willing pass out of the pick and roll. Ty Lawson is a willing pass out of the pick and roll, but he doesn't handle the ball most of the time if he's on the floor with James Harden. Mm-hmm. James Harden is the guy who's got the ball in his hands. So I think what happened was you went out and got Ty Lawson, and you didn't necessarily have a way to incorporate all three of those guys into the game plan.
And that's the thing. I see that, like, the Miami Heat, I saw them in the room to be interested a little bit. I just think Dwight Howard's pretty much done. I think the back injury, like, really screwed him up. I think he's done.
Why would I give up Justice Winslow?
Hassan Whiteside for Dwight Howard. For this guy.
Not at this point.
Maybe the old. If you could fool me with the old Dwight Howard, but now with this Dwight Howard.
Yeah, if he was Orlando Dwight Howard, yeah. Or if he was potentially. No, I can't even say Dwight Howard in L.A.
It would only be Dwight Howard in Orlando. You would have to see. I would have to see that product.
Yeah, I would have to see 20-15 or 20-12 in two blocks. Him being the guy that just erased all of your defensive mistakes. And in Houston, we all, Lord knows that on the wing, they don't have guys that are, you got Corey Brewer, Patrick Beverly. So those guys are pretty good wing defenders. But yeah. James Harden gets beat routinely, and Dwight Howard isn't erasing those mistakes.
He ain't the same dude. And if you ain't that dude, then.
Mentally, I think we've seen it before. When he mentally checks out, and he's done. Mm-hmm. We saw it in Orlando. We saw it in L.A. He's repeating the pattern. You see who he is and what he is. So why would you expect anything different at this point?
He's the Dwight Howard, man. It is what he's the Dwight Howard. He isn't that dude right now. The old Dwight Howard. It's a shame though if you think about it. Where he used to be at, a guy who got his team to the NBA Finals. He was out there getting MVP award. Well, not getting MVP awards, but was a high candidate for MVP awards. People thought, you know, he could be the next big man. You know, comparable to, you know, Shaquille O'Neal, Patrick Ewing, Hakeem Olajuwon, David Robinson, and look at him now, man.
Everyone thought that he would be David Robinson just because of how his physique is.
Yeah,
built
it was
out.
Similar to David Robinson, very similar.
You know,
body style. I mean,
the body style and the athleticism. So a lot of people, me included, thought he would be like a David Robinson type of center, but it just goes to show that just because you have the physical tools, if you don't have what in between your ears, that mental toughness and that mental focus and dedication, you won't fulfill your talent.
Anyway, it's about time to wrap this show up, man. We're not going to really have a music out because our sound equipment is a little dead right now. But it's cool, though. We made it work, all right? Most importantly, made it work. We made it work makes me happy. I want to give a shout out to the people. If you're listening from this date is over, you came out to our event on Saturday, you know, at I Ching restaurant and bar. Appreciate it, man. We all had a good time. You know what I'm saying? We had some drinks, shared some stories, took pictures. man, and I had a strobe light pizza. So everything was good. You know what I mean? It was good. That means I had a nice buzz. You know what that means, Will T. Strobe light pizza. You know what that means, man. So it was a good night, man. It was a good night for all. You know what I mean? And I appreciate it. Appreciate the support. Keep on coming out. Keep on rocking. And also the folks who listen to the Urban Sports Scene, we're doing big and great things right now. Every day, every show we do, we're getting hits. We're getting support. We're getting love. We're getting feedback. And we appreciate it. So continue to listen to us. We love it. We love to give you sports. And hopefully, you know, keep commenting. Keep populating the site.
To my fans who've been listening to the show, expecting to hear me over the past couple of weeks, I apologize. I haven't been here. You know, I got a lot of things going on that I'm trying to accomplish. So, you know, I had to step back from the show. But, you know, sometime in the maybe February, you know, I should be back on full time. So my fan base, Will T supporters, Will T fanatics, I know you're out there.
They are.
Still, please continue to support the show. Support Wally and Ray. And, you know, I'll be back on eventually. And then, you know, I'll be that that shining star in a dark light, in a dark night for you, you know. Just keep up the hope. And I appreciate the love that you send me.
Hey, real quick. I don't know how to come back from that one, man. One, Will T is always part of the family. He's there. He's here. He's just not here, but he's here. All right, we get Will T feedback all the time, so Will T's here. All right, so let that be known now. You know what I mean? Because Will T is a great individual.
I just don't want, you know, my fan. Yeah, and they're fans of the show. But
oh, my man, George likes your show. George likes you. He's like, where's Will T at, man?
See, there you go. You know what I mean? So
he said that. I'm being real. I'm not even lying about it.
I mean, that's cool. I respect and salute George. But you know, to the female demographic, I know that listen to this show just to hear me talk. I appreciate, continue to support us. I'll be back. You know,
What you want to tell the ladies, man?
I can't tell them what I want to tell them because this is a family show. But you know, I'll be back, and you know, just be patient. You know, they say separation makes the heart fonder. So you know, your heart will continue to grow and appreciate me as I'm when I'm not on the microphone. So,
all right, man. Y'all stay blessed, man. We out, man.
All right, man.
Peace. Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.